You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com.
Morning. So we're heading into John 14 today. We're going to be finishing it off. And I'm really excited to teach on this. I feel so honored because it's about the Holy Spirit. And I love the Holy Spirit. And so when this came up that I'd be teaching on it, I got so excited. And then I got so scared. Because then I'm like, oh no, if I'm teaching about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit can be a little crazy, how is my weeks going to be coming up to this? And I will say it's been about a month of me preparing for this. And honestly, what it's been is me falling more in love with God. And so that is my prayer for us today, is that we fall more in love with God and that we can respond to that love and learn more clearly how individually we can love him and how he made us. So if you want to turn to your Bibles, we'll be in John 14, 15 through 31. So if you've been following along, this is the same conversation that we've been in for a couple weeks. The Lord's Supper has happened. Jesus knows what's going to happen at the end of the week. He's going to be killed. He's preparing his disciples, telling them, this is what's going to happen. I'm leaving. You can't go where I'm going. Don't be afraid. Someone's going to betray me. I mean, that's a lot to take in. And so what I want for us today is I want us to get into the mindset of the disciples in the upper room. I want us to sit in that room as if we were a follower of Jesus at that time. We've been following Jesus for 2 to 3 years. We have seen signs and miracles. We have seen people come back from the dead. We have seen people healed. We have seen food multiply. We have seen water turn into wine. I mean, it's been an amazing journey. And now we're in Jerusalem. And some of them are thinking, this is great. We're going to get back Jerusalem. This is the king. It's going to be a military strike. We're going to have a great time. We're going to be the leaders. Other people are like, I have no idea what's going on. Jesus keeps saying that he's going to be betrayed. He doesn't seem happy. He seems really stressed out right now. If everything was going to go according to our plan, he should be happy. Why is he upset? If you're a feeler, you're feeling that tension in that room. You're like, he just said something about betrayal. Am I the one that's going to betray him? Where did Judas go? No, it's about me. It's not about Judas. Okay, where is he? Why is there such an urgency to Jesus speaking? Why does he kind of, maybe he sounds a little stressed out. Like, this night's about to end. He's about to go to the garden. What's happening? If you're a thinker, you're thinking back to everything that happened the past 3 years. And you're thinking, well, let me process everything. I need some time. And surely I will have a couple more years to ask Jesus what he means. Because I've already had those 3 years. I can have more time. Why does he keep saying he's going to leave? That's weird. I'll ask him about that later. Right now, I'll let him like have his moment. This is weird. So I want us to get in that mindset, because everything that I'm about to read to you is important. Everything Jesus says is important. But this specifically is preparing the disciples for something. He knows that they are going to be devastated. He's going to die. He's going to be taken. He's going to be betrayed. Half of them, majority of them, are going to abandon him. He knows that, but they have no idea. He knows that they're about to go into a earth-shattering, life-altering, heartbreaking situation. And he's doing everything he can to prepare them, to encourage them, to inform them, to build faith, all of that in them. And it's not just true for them, it's also true for us today. I know most of us have gone through an earth-shattering, life-altering, heartbreaking situation. We've probably been in more than one, and unfortunately, we'll probably be in more in the future. And so these words are to be a comfort to us. We're supposed to read this and go, oh, why my life sucks right now? I don't know, but I know God is good, and I know that he is with me. So I'm going to read John 14, 15 through 31. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. In that day you know that I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. So obviously, there's a lot to unpack. A lot of our theology comes from this very passage. And I wanted to be a complete geek about it and use my theology degree and like, yes, get in on it. But God's like, no. That is not what this is about. This is about my heart. This is about how much I love you and how much you can love me and how I've made a way for you to love me. So today we're going to take it concept by concept. There will be points at the end of the sermon, but I believe the Holy Spirit right now is teaching you what he wants you to individually know, more than I could ever teach you. And so as I go through the sermon, write down in your notes, on your phone, whatever it is that God is bringing to your attention, because it's good, and he's teaching us. And as long as you are here submitted to him, it's amazing what he can teach you, how he can just transform your life. So let's learn how God loves us and how we can love him rightly. So in verse 15, he says, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He says it right there. How do we love God? We follow his commandments. We are obedient to him. And his commandments, there are a lot of them. Anything Jesus said to do is technically a commandment. So he tells them, repent. Tells them, believe. He tells them, follow me. He says, honor your parents. There's so many things that God commands us to do. And individually, there is something God is commanding you to do. Maybe it's something a little more specific than just honor your parents. Because maybe your parents, hard to honor them. And so it's going to look differently than how someone else honors their parent. Maybe God is saying, honor your body by eating these foods. To some people, it's like, oh, I can eat a donut. It's totally fine. This is good. To somebody else, God's saying, do not eat that donut. That donut has become an idol. Honor me. So it changes. So specifically, God is saying, follow me, be obedient by following my commandments. And you're thinking, okay, well, I can't do that. That's like really hard. And it is. It is hard. It's hard if we don't have the Holy Spirit. But we read in 16:17 that God's sending us a helper. He's sending us the Holy Spirit to help us love him. And I love that he calls him the helper, because I don't know about you, sometimes I'm like, Holy Spirit, and I completely like subtract the helping part. where I'm just like, oh, he's the Holy Spirit, and he's over here, and I'm over here, and I think I can do things on my own. Like, God says, go do this. And I'm like, I can do it. And I run out to do it. And then I'm exhausted. And then I hit a wall. And then I get angry at God. Like, you told me to do the thing, and now I'm exhausted, and I'm done. I'm out. Bye. And God's like, I'm asking you to ask me for help. I didn't tell you to go do that thing on your own. If it's my will, I'm in it. I'm making it happen. So ask me for help. And we want to handle things on our own. And it's such our ego, right? We just like, yes, I'm amazing. And then you're like, wait a minute, it's not about me. It's about God. And so submitting to the Holy Spirit continually reminds us that's not about us. It's about God, that we can't do the thing, that we need the Holy Spirit to do the thing. And praise God that we have the Holy Spirit, because we would really mess it up. I mean, we have messed up a lot already. Can you imagine if we didn't have the Holy Spirit, how messed up this world would be? Anyways. and what I love, I just completely distracted there. And what I love is that we have the Holy Spirit who indwells within us. It is not some separate thing. God is not separate from us. God is actually indwelling within us. If you are a believer, you have God with you, which is amazing. Because all I think is, wow, I'm so broken. I'm so gross. There's no way that God could ever love me. And God's like, hey, I'm in there. I love you. I chose you. I love you. It's like, thank you. I needed that reminder. I need to go do that thing. And I need to know that I am loved. So what I'm asking is, if you're in a situation right now where God's calling you to do something and you're like, I can't do this. You can't. You can't do this without God. Ask the Holy Spirit. Just yell out, help, help, I can't do this, help. It's amazing how quickly God will be like, I'm here, I'm with you. I've been here this entire time. I just wanted you to see me. I wanted you to recognize me. Because for the most part, God is so gracious and merciful, he's not going to force himself on you. Most of the time, I want him to, because it would make my life easier. But that's not a real relationship. That's not real love. If someone's forcing themselves on you, that's not love. We call that abuse, right? God's not abusive. God is loving. And the Holy Spirit, I'd say, really helps us respond to God's love. We get to see and experience a part of God that is so intimate and so personal, and we totally take it for granted. We totally just think, ah, it's fine, it's the Holy Spirit. I'm in the temple, my body's the temple, la, la, la. But we forget how sacred that is and what a gift that is. So I'm encouraging you right now, ask for help. He is there. He wants to help you. In verse 18, he reminds us that we are not alone, that we are not orphans. I know for some, and I used to think this, that maybe a God existed. He created the world, and then he left. That's like some people believe. And for a while, I believed that. In reading the scriptures, it's very obvious that that is not true, right? God sent his Son. God sent his Holy Spirit. He is with us. God is very present, very active in our lives. When we say God is alive, he's really alive. He's alive in us. He is moving. His kingdom is coming. There is an energy. There is a movement toward. He is not detached. And what I also love about verse 18 and 19, he's also encouraging the disciples, I will come to you. He's telling them in that moment, I'm going to die. I'm going to be resurrected. And then I'm coming back. And I'm going to teach you guys for another 40 days. And a lot of times we forget that part, that Jesus does come back and he teaches them for another 40 days. So in this specific instance, he is encouraging them for that. He's saying, don't worry. You're going to be terrified because you're going to see me die and you're going to run. But don't worry, because I'm going to show back up and I'm going to be with you. And that's the truth for us today too. is the second coming is coming. Christ is returning. We don't have to be afraid that he just left. He's coming back, and we can look forward to that. So have hope. When you are stressed out, have hope because he is returning. He gave us his Holy Spirit pretty much as a down payment of saying, I'm coming back. And he also tells them, because I live, you will also live. This is the resurrection. This is eternal life. He's telling them again, you're going to see me die, but I'm going to live. And because of my life, because of what I did on the cross, you are now covered and you get to have eternal life. You get to live. There is no death for you. And he continues, in that day you will know that I'm in my Father and you in me and I in you. He's building up so much faith in us of saying, this, I'm a faithful person. You can have faith in me. When this happens, when I am risen, you will know that I am with the Father. You can have assurance in that. You are with me. You can have assurance of that. I am faithful. I am God, which is blowing minds, right? And to be honest, the disciples, like us, don't really get it. We're like, all right, you live, I live. Sure, this is all very symbolic and beautiful and very poetic, Jesus. And it's not until later that we realize, oh, he really meant that. He really did rise from the dead. That wasn't symbolic. That wasn't a poem. Nice. Thanks, God. And in verse 21, he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Again, he is iterating. This is how we love God. This is how the world knows that we love God. This is how God knows that we love him. This is how we respond to God's love, is by being obedient. And of course, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And this is what I want you guys to understand. God loves us. God sent the world, sent his son to the world to show his love. So we know that, right? He sent his son to the world. I'm going to repeat it. To the world to let us know that he loves us. How we respond shows us that God loves us. So the Holy Spirit's within us, right? This gets into a very theological discussion, and I don't want to go down that part. What I want to say is that when God says, I sent my son to the world to love the world, he loves the world. Which for some, it's like, well, that's great, he loves the world. What about me? And for us, when we say, I love you too, God, that is a sign that we are personally loved by God. Because we were once enemies of God. We once hated God. I know myself personally, I was an atheist. I hated God. I couldn't care less about him. And then all of a sudden, I was like, I love God. What is this feeling? I would have never loved him, 10 years ago. This is crazy. And I realized it was God changing my heart. It was the Holy Spirit entering into my life and saying, you love the Father, don't you? It's like, I do. I just didn't feel I was worthy enough. I didn't feel like, how could he ever love me? I want to love him, but he can never love me. So I don't love him. I don't want to get hurt. And God's saying, no, I love the world first and foremost. I love you first and foremost. This isn't unrequited love. You don't have to fear. If you have any inkling of, oh, I love God, you have full assurance that God loves you. You have the Holy Spirit. Because there is no way that you can love God without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Because we, unfortunately, sin wants nothing to do with God. When we have the Holy Spirit, we have everything to do with God. We can't help but go and say, I love you, I worship you. So whenever you're feeling in doubt, where you're just thinking, God can never love me, you thinking that is already a sign that he loves you and that you have a way to love him. Again, the urgency starts to build in verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. He knows he is leaving. He knows what's going to happen. He knows how terrified they're going to be. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you things and bring remembrance all that I have said to you. So first, remove the pressure that you have to remember everything. Remove the pressure that you have to know all the things. I think I've learned that the most by teaching on Sunday. Because I add this pressure in my head, like, I need to know all the things. And God's like, you don't know anything, Tawny. I'm like, you're right, I don't. I come up here and I start talking, and then I'm like, I didn't know that. And it's the Holy Spirit teaching through me. I'm like, this is amazing. I want to not know more and know more, you know, by teaching. So thank you guys for letting me teach, because I get to learn things. It's amazing. But what's also great is he's also telling specifically the disciples too, is that I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to remind you of things. And what's amazing is we see the work of the Holy Spirit. It's scripture. John did not remember everything. We know how our memories are. We couldn't tell you what happened last week. We seem to always, I don't know about you, but this is me. I embellish things. I'm a writer, so I'm like, yes, let's put all these beautiful words, and then this happened, and God's like, honey, just say the facts. And I'm like, but it's so pretty if I put these words. And that John could have easily done that. But it's the Holy Spirit who wrote the scriptures. It's the Holy Spirit who is speaking through me right now. It's the Holy Spirit who you're hearing right now. Is he specifically telling you things of listen to that. That's not for you. This is for you. Hear this random scripture. Remember this memory that you have from 10 years ago? And remember that moment, that guy? Yeah, that was the Holy Spirit working. There's these moments that we wouldn't remember without the Holy Spirit. And that's part of his job, right? Is to empower us, to remind us, to comfort us, to help us. He does so many things. And I encourage you to just scream out for help. When you have a moment when somebody asks you a question about the Bible and you have no idea, that's okay. Honestly, remove that pressure that you have to know everything. You can actually just tell the person, it's a great question. I have no idea. Let's go read about it. Let's go open up the Bible and read about it. Let's pray about it. Here, what's your number? I'll go tell you later. Let me go pray and I'll come back. You don't have to have the answer at that moment, because hardly anybody has the answer to anything at that moment. So what are some of the last words that Jesus needs to remind the disciples? Some big ones. He tells them, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. He's giving them peace. Don't we all want peace? I know I want peace. That's all I pray for is peace. Probably because I'm an Enneagram 9 with the peacemaker, and that's all I want. But I want peace. And it's not as the world gives do I give to you. It's not the world's peace, because the world's peace is distracting. The world's peace only brings attention to that thing. It becomes an idol. That peace is centered on God. That peace is looking at God. I was telling Andrea earlier, me and Sophia got rid of the internet. It's been 2 months, and it is painful at times, because I didn't realize how much I depended on distractions. When I was like stressed out, I was like, I'm gonna go stream something on Netflix. I'm gonna go watch this on Hulu. I'm gonna go play a game on my phone. And for the first month, I kept playing a game on my phone. I wasn't watching any movies, but I was playing a game on my phone. And then God's like, delete that. I was like, but this is my comfort. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, you're my comfort. I repent. I'm so sorry. You're right. And it's been hard, but it's been so good. And I'm not saying delete the internet, people. That was specifically for me. Specifically, God's like, this is getting in my way of working in your heart. And it's been way more times of prayer, way more times of just sitting in silence, gazing on God. Having more conversations with Sophia where we're like, oh man, God's working in our hearts. And we sit there and we go, we wouldn't have had this conversation before. We would have probably been watching HBO or something. Like, this is so much better. This is so much more eternal. This is not time wasted. And he also tells them, Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. There are legitimately scary things in this world. First off, Jesus knew the disciples were going to see some scary things. Jesus was going to be humiliated. Jesus was going to be tortured. Jesus was going to be murdered right in front of them. And not only are they seeing who some believed was Lord, their teacher, their friend, but then, of course, they're thinking, this is going to happen to me because I'm with him. That's why later on when we read about Peter saying, I'm not with him, I don't know him, because he's terrified. He doesn't want to end up like Jesus. The thing is, Jesus is asking us to follow him. Jesus is asking us to die, to be humiliated. But we don't have to do it alone. We have the helper, and we don't have to be afraid, which sounds so contradictory, I know, but that's totally how the kingdom works, right? It's like this and that. It's that tension that Pastor Nathan always brings up. It's scary, but we don't have to be afraid because God, the creator of everything, is with you. He's bigger than the scary thing. He's allowing that scary thing in your life to bring you closer to him, to get you to yell, help, I need you. And for him to be your hero, because he's our hero. There's no one else like him. Jesus is our hero. So he concludes with saying, he's going away, and that we should be excited that he's going away. Which, I don't know about you, if I was a disciple in the room, I'd be like, no, wait, you don't know what's, no, you need to stay here. I'm scared. Don't go away. And he's saying, but I'm with the Father. It's like, well, that's great, but I want you with me, so I'll go with you. And of course, Peter has no idea what he's saying when he says, I'll go with you. It's like, no, you can't. Do you want to die, Peter? No, then don't come with me. But we need to recognize that right now where Jesus is at. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. We can have assurance that Jesus is God. He is with God. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to feel like he is somewhere that we don't know where he's at. He's not just like, oh, he's in space somewhere. God told us where he's at. Which again, he doesn't need to tell us anything, but he is so gracious that he does tell us. And he tells us all of this, he tells all the disciples this, so they can trust him. He's telling them so that after the fact, they can look back and go, that's what Jesus was saying in the room. Okay, he's going to come back. He's with the Father. He's going to teach us things. He's going to bring us his helper. We're not alone. And all of this just shows that Jesus is God. That he, the way that he loves God is by obeying God. In verse 31, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. God is telling us, Jesus is telling us, the way that you love me is by obeying me. And Jesus is saying, the way I love God is that I obey God. So really, we're doing what Jesus is doing, which is all that we are, right? Is that we're all being formed into the likeness of Christ. That is what's happening. And by being formed to the likeness of Christ, we do what Jesus does. And what Jesus does is obey God's commandments. He's not going to ask us to do something that he's not willing to do himself, which is amazing. So I want us to get real with self. All of this, I don't know if you've been catching up on it, is about how God loves us and how we can love him. And God's telling us how we can love him, just by obeying him. But how do we usually love Jesus? How do you specifically love Jesus throughout your week? That's one of my questions I leave for you guys throughout the week, is to really ask yourself that, is how do I love Jesus? Because most of the time, It's the easiest, most convenient way that we love Jesus. If you can confess that. If you can confess that most of the time it's done self-righteously. It's, well, I read my Bible every day. That is how I love God. I don't ask the Holy Spirit to be involved in the reading of the Bible. I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to do anything that the Bible tells me to do, but I'm just going to read it because that makes me holy. That's not love. I'm going to fast for 40 days because that's what you do, right? As a Christian, you fast. But did God tell you to do that? Or is that just building up your own ego so you can tell people, like, I'm sorry, I'm on a fast right now. I'm really holy. Don't mind me. Do you do it religiously where you're just, you go up to people and you tell people about Jesus, but you don't care who they are. You're just like, hi, have you heard about Jesus? No? Well, let me tell you how amazing I am. So, and you just start going on. You're like, that's not loving. And what frustrates me, I was going through this, is how much I do this and how much we do this. Is we go to God and we say, this is how I'm willing to love you. That's so egotistical. That is so arrogant. It's like if someone in your household was saying, you know what, I feel really loved when you take out the trash. Can you take out the trash for me, you know, every week? It's like, yes, I will do that. And you come home and they clean the bathroom. And you're like, I thought you were going to take out the trash. It's like, well, I felt you could be loved this way. This is the way that I prefer to love you. And you're like, what? That's not loving to me. That's not what I asked. And that's what we do to God constantly, is we're constantly saying, well, this is all I have to give to you. I love you this much. I don't want your Holy Spirit to help. I want to love you this much because it's comfortable and it's not awkward and it's not weird and it doesn't change my life. But when God's saying, hey, I love you, and how you respond to loving me is really obeying me, and it is giving your life to me. It is saying, God, I am yours, every part of me, my Sundays, my Mondays, my Tuesdays, my Wednesdays, my Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, my 2 a.m.s, my 2 p.m.s. It's all of it. It's all the gifts you've given me. It's everything. That is how I can love you. And I want to remove the pressure because now it's like, okay, I got to love you. I got to love you. I got to like sit here and like love you, love you, love you. That's kind of crazy. Don't do that. Unless God's saying, sit there and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, then go ahead and do that. But when Jesus is having this conversation with his disciples, and he's telling them, this is how you can love me, and he's laying it out pretty clear. This is how you can love me. I'm going to send someone to help you love me, because I know you can't even do it on your own, and I know that about you, so I'm going to send me to love me, because that's how I work. He knows they're going to fail. He knows that after he has this conversation, most of them are going to bail. Most are going to run away. Most are going to deny him. I mean, how painful is that? Is when you're telling somebody and you're saying, I love you. And they're like, uh-huh. Nope. I'm out. Like, how heartbreaking is that? Is knowing like, oh, well, that's great. Thanks. And yet he still sent his Holy Spirit. And yet they still became apostles of the church. Like, God didn't abandon them. That's what's amazing, is how many times have we just failed? How many times have we said, I love you too, Netflix, and then you just walk away? God's saying, it's okay. Come back. Come back. I love you. Do you love me? Yes. Yes, I do. I love you. It's amazing how much grace we have, how much grace God gives us to love him. Tap into that. Constantly tap into that. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged that you messed up. Because we've learned anything is you can't mess up. You can't. When the Holy Spirit's involved, you're not going to mess up. All of it's opportunities to trust God more. All of it's opportunities to learn more how much you need him. So here are my 2 points. I am loved. I want you guys to say that with me. I am loved. I am loved. I am loved. You guys believe that? You are loved. You know God loves you because he sent his Son and his Holy Spirit. Whenever you have doubt that he doesn't love you, remember Jesus Christ and remember the Holy Spirit. Those are actual tangible things that you have witnessed in your life. And they are assurances. God's not going to leave you. If you mess up, God's not going to leave you. He loves you. You are loved first and foremost. And second, I can love God. Say it. I can love God. I can love God. You can. Don't be afraid to love him. Again, he loves you first. Don't be afraid of this unrequited love that you're like, oh, I love them, but I don't know. Do they like me? I don't want to show my true heart to them. That's not how it is with God. He's saying, I love you. I sent my Son. I sent the Holy Spirit. I'm really in love with you. So jump in love with me. Throw it all in. It's okay. God helps me to love him rightly by sending me the Holy Spirit who empowers me to follow his commandments. Again, it's rightly, because we can say, oh yeah, I can love God the way I want. Again, remove that. It's not about you. It's about God. God is worthy to be loved the way he wants to be loved. Are you willing to love him the way that he deserves to be loved? All right, we're going to move into application. It's going to get a little awkward. I'm warning you guys right now, because it's the Holy Spirit. So I've been reading this book on spiritual direction by Henry Nouwen, and it's an awesome book. I highly recommend it. But he had this just simply profound quote that I've been meditating on for the past month that has, like, changed my brain, and it has really directed this sermon, really. I mean, Holy Spirit directed it, but you know what I mean. This influenced it. The quote goes, "You are here for just a short time, for 20, 40, 60, or 80 years, to discover and believe that you are a beloved child of God. The length of time doesn't matter. Life is just a short opportunity for you during a few years to say to God, I love you too. You are already loved. You are the beloved child of God. Do you guys know that? Now you can just respond to God and say, I love you too. And for some of us, all we get to say is, I love you too. And that's it. It's just, I love you too. And for others, the Holy Spirit's going to move deeper in you. And it's, I love you too. And I can show you all the ways that I love you. Whatever God's telling you to do, it's going to look so different for each person. For some, saying I love you too is staying at the job that you hate because God told you to stay there. For some, it is buying that camera God told you to buy, and you just buy it. For some, it's saying stay in this marriage, and that's how you say I love you too. For some is don't get married, and that is saying I love you too. Whatever it is, it's personal, how you say I love you too. And what's amazing is you have the opportunity to go deeper and deeper for your entire life to say I love you too, for however long you have. Because some of us could be 60 more years. Some could be a year. Who knows what it is? But I encourage you to be able to say I love you too constantly. And the way that you do that is just by being obedient to God's commandments, by following his word, by spending time with him. So that's what I'm going to do for us right now, is I want us to spend time with him. Because I can tell you, oh, this week, go pray about how you can love God too. And you'll go, that's a great idea. I'll go do that. And then you forget it. And then maybe like Wednesday, you're like, oh, what's the application? I'm busy. I'll do it tomorrow. And then Sunday comes around and you're like, what was last week's sermon? I don't remember. Okay, let's keep going. And this is a time of worship, right? This is a time where we come together and we say, Jesus, we love you, we honor you, we worship you. I want to spend more time with you. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give us 4 minutes, which sounds to some of us like, 4 minutes? Ugh, I don't like that. Some of us, it's like, 4 minutes? Can you give me 30 minutes? And there's some that are like, I will be here for 6 hours. This is fine. I'm okay. What I want us to do in this time is I'm going to have a song on. And this song is for some people who can't, who get so distracted by any noise. So the song is going to help you kind of blur out other things. And I learned firsthand, I was on a plane, I listened to the song for 6 hours on loop. It was not planned, it was the only song I had on my phone. And there was a person snoring next to me, so I needed to have music. And I learned that, wow, this song's really good. Like, I could just get lost in it. So that's what this song is going to be on. It's going to play for 4 minutes, and after that, the worship team's going to come up, and they're going to continue worship. But in these 4 minutes, I just want you to sit with God. I want you to ask him, how can I love you too? For some, it could be being seated. For some, you may need to lay down. For some, you need to kneel. For some, you need to journal. Whatever it is. It could be a time of confession where you're telling God, I've never felt your love. I don't know if you love me. For some, it could be, I don't know how to love you. I don't know if I really believe it, but maybe I can love you. For some is God's going to say, here is how you have been specifically loving me. Thank you. You are my daughter. You are my son. I love you. Keep doing that. For some, it could just be, this is how you love me. You're like, oh, well, that was really easy. I was going to go fast for 40 days. Cool. Thanks. I just have to wake up every morning. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And if you don't even believe in God, this is literally a four-minute break from a chaotic week. Life is crazy, and we don't slow down. So this 4 minutes is for you to slow down and just sit. So I'm going to pray for us, and then the song will play. Father God, I thank you so much for your love. Thank you, God, for loving us first, so that we may respond in love, Lord. God, I ask for your Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to remind us, to empower us, to say I love you too. Lord, I pray against the enemy, his works and effects of distraction, anything, Lord. God, it's your Spirit we want. It's your Holy Spirit that we need. It's in your Son's precious name. Amen.